Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. God has, I think, met with us already this morning in a wonderful way. I think the Lord has, and I think maybe this message will speak to that in a particular way, I hope. It will be a little instructive. Most of you saints have been a saint very long, are well aware of a lot of the things I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. But on the outside chance that some of us are not fully aware of everything the Bible says about everything that is in existence, there might be a thread of blessing and hope I could share with you this morning concerning your walk with Christ, your battle with the world. Does anybody know you're battling the world today and the God of this world? Does anybody understand that? So we have an enemy. And so the enemy does all kinds of things to trip us up and to sidetrack us. If he can't just cause you to give up your faith in Christ, then he tries to distract you from serving him to your fullest, or he just tries to throw so many stumbling blocks before you that you just get weary and never accomplish anything for Christ. So all of those efforts and those methods that the enemy tries to use, we still have authority and power to overcome that. Amen? And so I'm excited about that. But one of the cool things I'm excited about is I was standing in the foyer this morning about to enter into service and come down for prayer with the men before service. And by the way, if you don't know this, all men are welcome to come up in the beginning of the service and pray with us. What we pray for is for God's Holy Spirit to move and touch everybody in the service, that whatever your need is, you come. And some needs were shared with us today, and I think some point before we have communion, maybe at the end of this message, we'll have a word of prayer for some of your needs. Just in general, people are needing vans that just died, and other people that we know need vehicles, and some of us need practical things and just can't afford them. And so what do we do? We call upon the name of the Lord. And you know what's funny about that? Not funny, but it's awesome about that. Curious about that is that God hears our prayer and he answers us. And what I like about it is you can recognize it's God answering your prayer because of the way he does it. He will do it in a way that blows your mind first and then the rest of the world. They can't believe it really was God. And while your mind is being blown because you can't believe it's really God, it's kind of like Peter knocking on the door, you know what I mean? So we're believing God for those kinds of things, but with all of that kind of struggle going on, there should be some victory somewhere, amen? The Holy Spirit should be able to communicate to us that there is some very powerful things that he has in mind with your personal life. And while I was there, I was thinking, in fact, this is very interesting, not coincidental, I think it's kind of a God thing. I'm standing there and somebody shouts my name and I look over and lo and behold, they're standing in the foyer after much debilitation and what do you call it when you rehab? Thank you, rehabilitation, and then smacked again with another physical problem, and then smacked again with another physical problem. Lo and behold, standing in the foyer of our church is Carol Smith, and I don't want you to be frightened, but she's actually driving now. Amen. Give God a hand. Praise the Lord. So just raise your hand so those that don't know you, Carol, will know you. And by the way, give her a hand. Praise the Lord. For what God has done in her life, and it has been marvelous things. It's just, we could probably spend the afternoon talking about how faithful God has been to Carol and in so many ways. And I asked her which way she was going out of the parking lot today so that we would know to go out the other end of the parking lot. So we're not a distraction for her driving, but man, it's so good to see Carol this morning. God bless the wondrous things that he has done. It's just been marvelous, and we thank God for that. I want you to turn to the book of Acts this morning, and we're dancing all around the subject of the Holy Spirit And we may just go a couple of years. I don't really care. I just like talking about what I think the Lord wants to share with you this morning. And some of it I hope will confirm things in your life. And some of it I hope will instruct you with some other areas, maybe give you some insights to some things, maybe some answers to some of the situations and maybe solutions of how to receive from the Lord, perhaps what you might need to overcome any issue that is in your life, with the confidence knowing that God is well aware of you and your situation. That's part of the hard part, isn't it? When you're going through things, it's sometimes hard to see God in there. It's hard to know where God is. Trust me, He's there. He's with you. He's in you. All that's true. But sometimes we kind of just lose sight of the fact that God is well aware of where we are, what we're going through, and He has not left us nor forsaken us. And that is always an encouragement, isn't it? In the book of Acts, second chapter, probably one of the most famous verses in this chapter, the fourth verse, I want to read for you. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I like the key. I'm sorry. But, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I did it. I read the scripture without interrupting myself, except I started to interrupt myself and I had to stop myself so I could. Sunday night, Dave made me aware that I never, ever read through a text without making some kind of comment along the way. So I wanted to do that, and I still almost stumbled there, but I did get it through. And so turn also then to the 14th and 15th verse. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Again, read all the way through. Aren't you proud of me a little bit today? Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise God. Anyway, that's minor. What I like about this scripture in that it blows so many people's minds today, except those, of course, who have experienced this and had their personal encounter with the Holy Spirit or a personal Pentecost or whatever, however you want to describe it. It opens up so many things when you begin to talk about this experience, and so many questions for some people, and so many people who may even reject it, not even consider it to be even contemporary as far as church is concerned. I am one who have embraced this early in my Christian experience, and I did so without even knowing anything about it in the scripture. When I first became a Christian, I didn't know much about the Bible. I had, you know, read the red letters a bit before I really gave my heart to Jesus Christ and knew what it meant to really surrender and receive the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And so before being a Christian, I'd read the red letters. That's why I think that's the true Bible, the ones with the red letters in it. And so I kind of had most of the time I would spend in John because it felt good to read that. But anyway, not knowing anything about the Holy Spirit, I received that experience one night. Not even praying for myself, praying for someone else. I prayed for some young people at school I'd been witnessing to and wanting God to, and invited them to church and wanted God to get a hold of their lives like He had gotten a hold of mine. Most of them druggies like I was, and long-haired, kind of pot-smoking, dope-smoking, pill-popping, acid-dropping, all those kinds of things. Kind of kids, and I was telling them, man, there's a better way than this. I've discovered something in Jesus Christ. He saved me. I had this experience, and I explained this experience. It blew people's minds, and I got a lot of young people to come to our church and our youth group, of course, on the weekends. But I was praying one night for a young man who came one Sunday night. I was praying for him and asking God to just do a great work in him. I'm down there. God, draw him to this altar. Save him. Let him come on down here beside me and just give his heart to you. Just surrender to you. He never moved from his seat. But that night, the Holy Spirit fell upon me with great power. Not only did I sense Him physically, but I felt Him spiritually. And I felt the Scripture talks about here, the Holy Spirit giving you utterance, unction, the Holy Spirit actually speaking through you. I experienced that. I didn't understand a stinking word I was saying, but it was unbelievable and awesome, and I didn't know a thing about it. And that doesn't convince anyone, I think, here this morning about the reality or the truth of the second chapter of the book of Acts. But what it does for me is make me able to hopefully communicate to you some of the things that you may have experienced as a Christian, or even on your way to becoming a Christian. Because on your way to becoming a Christian, it's the same Holy Spirit dealing with your heart and your life, talking to your mind, and speaking to your spirit to bring life into that. And sometimes when we become Christians, we don't always realize that the voice that was speaking to us then was the Holy Spirit, and the voice who's also speaking to us now is also the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we think it's just, we're thinking in our mind these things, and how can I know for sure that this is God really speaking to me? And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and what are some of the reasons and the ways in which He does that and accomplishes that. He doesn't just fall on everybody the same way He may have fallen on me. And that's an important point to remember. Whenever the Holy Spirit is working in your life, dealing with you, you may just slough it off as that's just me thinking about things in my mind, or in my spirit I'm feeling impressed about a particular issue or a situation or a decision I may be making. What you ought to be thinking in is terms that when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, He's going to use what I have to offer Him to use to communicate to me. And so when He speaks to me or speaks to anyone, He speaks to your mind and to your intellect, and He uses your emotions, and He uses your spirit and the life-giving force that He puts into your spirit by bringing regeneration into your spirit and into your life. When He does those things that we experience and that we sense and we hear in our mind speaking is the power of the Holy Spirit communicating to us. And when we don't understand that, we miss sometimes the effort of the Holy Spirit to speak to us. On the day of Pentecost is absolutely awesome, because what was happening was they were obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I can obey that same word. To be born again, to become a Christian, we have to obey the word of the Lord, just like in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. We do that born again thing, and we receive Jesus Christ in obedience to the Lord's direction and His offer of salvation and all of that. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is no different. He offers the promise. In fact, Jesus tells us His Spirit has been upon you, but He shall be in you. And He says, breathes on them and says, receive you the Holy Spirit. He also says, receive you the promise that the Father has given you. What is that promise? That a comforter would come to you. A new comforter, not Jesus Christ, but another comforter would come into you, and He would lead you into righteousness and knowledge and understanding of who God is and who the Holy Spirit. Boring stuff, isn't it? That's that theology stuff. What we really want to hear about is how the Holy Ghost does that. And what He is saying to us, and one of the reasons I like to read that chapter, because I like the term Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, maybe I'm just old-fashioned to some degree, and I'm beginning to think I'm older-fashioned, but I like that. It just sounds more dynamic to me. Holy Spirit sounds a little wispy, you know? Is that? But it's solid. I mean, I don't have a problem saying Holy Spirit. I do that interchangeably, but I like it when it says the Holy Ghost came upon them, you know. They began to speak with, it's like power in that name, and it just kind of exudes that for me. I don't know what it does for you, but one of the things I'm convinced of is that the Holy Spirit is more desirous to have greater influence in our lives than we even realize. I think the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I think you control what the Holy Spirit does in your life and what you allow to happen in your life. Amen? You may not realize that yet, but Paul addresses that by saying, don't quench the Spirit. Amen? And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to quench the Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit, of all of our knowledge about God, we do know that the Holy Spirit is a complete and perfect gentleman. He has no desire to harm you, hurt you, bring confusion into your life. His desire is to bring the will of God and plant it in you and let it grow to fruition and help it come to that place. Amen? Is that making sense? And so with that kind of in mind, I want to address some really cool things, because one of the things that is so exciting about the Lord is, and the Holy Spirit in this context, is because it leaves us not absent of God's speaking to us. And what I'm reminded about that is there was like 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's called the Maccabean period for a lot of those of you that are Bible history nuts. that's a period in between, and there's a lot of things that went on in the Jewish people and the Romans and all that kind of stuff. You remember Masada and all that kind of stuff, and that was all within that history, that period, and that kind of thing. But there was no prophet of God. There was no one sent by God to speak to the children of Israel. 400 years, God has been silent in speaking to his people. A couple things come out of that. One, the people are hungry. America, the world, is hungry to hear from God. They don't even realize what they hunger for. We need a good leader. We need an honest leader. We need a moral leader. We need somebody who can lead us into prosperity and health and all these great things that we hope for our lives. We need a great leader. We do need a Messiah. Sounds a whole lot like the time just before Jesus appears, doesn't it? Could it be maybe it's the time, signs of the time, just before he appears again? It could very well be, since that's what the scripture says. It'll be like those old days. And so what really amazes me is that God, in his great brilliance, has determined a way to speak to his people. In the Old Testament, you need to realize this. The Old Testament, God would send Moses or a prophet to speak. And if they had any brains, they would listen. Most of the time, jello. And they wouldn't, or they would listen for a time, or they would repent for a time, and they would serve God for a season. But it wasn't long that the cultures and the customs of other people would begin to influence them, and they would fall into some kind of idolatry or whatever, and they'd turn away from God. Everybody knows the history of Israel to that extent, I'm pretty sure. But God would always send a prophet to bring them to repentance. He'd always have a word being given to them. He was always communicating some way. And I don't know why God chooses men and women to communicate his word to one another, but somehow he's done that. I think I know a little bit about that, but in the Old Testament was different, because if the Spirit of God came upon you, he just came upon you for a short amount of time so you could deliver the message, but he would lift from you. You remember Samson and all the other judges and then the prophets? That's what would happen to them. When the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah, you read things like that. That's what he's talking about. And they would begin to communicate as God spoke to them. That's why you can know that when you read the Bible, it is the Word of God, because God moved upon men of old and anointed them, and they spoke and were inspired to write the words that they wrote for us. And so as you rely upon them, you're really relying upon God's process to communicate to you what His will is and what His desire for you is and where He wants to take you on a personal level. So to have a personal relationship like we have it in the New Testament, just coming to know Christ is dynamic, because the Spirit of God now is upon us and dwells with us. But Jesus said there's even more than that. There come a day when that Spirit will dwell within you. I can't think of a better way, God in His great genius, to be able to speak clearly just to you than for His Spirit to fill you and communicate to you straight to your spirit and to your mind and to your soul. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, we oftentimes even take that for granted. We spirit-filled people sometimes even take that for granted. We just, you know, go around just assuming God's going to do this and this. And one of the things we need to be real careful of is we can assume ourselves right out of the will of God. God never wants to be taken for granted. He must be primary in your life. And so one of the reasons He plants His Spirit in us and testifies of His presence with verbal evidence that the Holy Spirit is there giving utterance is so that you will not take Him for granted, that you'll learn to be more and more dependent upon that relationship you have with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is no longer walking amongst us in the flesh. He's at their Father's right hand making intercession for us. It's the Holy Spirit that does our communicating with the Son and with the Father. Now, you can pray directly to Jesus. That's not a problem. But sometimes you don't know what to pray, and the Spirit will utter out of you groanings, the Scripture says, that you don't understand, but your spirit is communicating directly with God. And when that happens, tell me, when that's happened to you, has that not made you feel that you were in the right place at the right time with God? Absolutely. Absolutely. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to come within us, different from the Old Testament, so we have a constant communication, constant presence of the Lord in our lives. When you're tempted to rob your next bank, Jim, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and tells you, no, this is not the will of the Lord for you. You need to get a job. He hears that voice and obeys. And am I correct? You didn't rob any banks last week. Am I right? See, so the Spirit must have been speaking to him. Who knows? But at any rate, that process, that experience, that relationship, and I'm not going to get into a theological debate about the reality of that and all of that. I'm just telling you what I know the Holy Spirit does, and it does it in a wonderful way. But I want to take you to a place about communication, about comfort, about a leader into all truth, and a leader into a revealer of that kind of truth that he wants you to know on a personal level. I want to take it to another level as well, because I think our church cannot survive without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within it. And I want to say it, I want to kind of communicate it this way. I think that as he moves on me individually, and he does things in my life, And he does things that may look queer to other people, but to me it's very intimate and powerful and pure and wonderful. And somebody on the outside looking at me may think that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen a human being do, you know, that kind of stuff. But what he does in me, does for me personally. Sometimes he, like in a corporate service, he'll do things that's not related to me, but for you. Like if I were to give a message in tongues and interpret it, that would be, of course, for your benefit, that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you, using me as a megaphone or however you want to describe it. But I also believe the Holy Spirit is in this church. Not just me personally, but I think he's in this church. And he's here for a purpose, and that's to bring unity and harmony and the power of the Holy Spirit to be resident for any particular needs you may have as an individual. So I think the Holy Spirit moves in a corporate way. He moves in a churchy way. He moves on our church. I think when we're in worship, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. We call upon Jesus to come, and that's what we're experiencing. And that's the very wonderful thing about being a Christian. We have evidence every day that Jesus is real. Evidence every day that God is real. Evidence that every day that God wants to communicate and have a relationship with me. He wants to speak to my heart and to my life. So sometimes he speaks to the church. That's an amazing thing also, isn't it? When a word comes forth and the whole church hears it, this is how cool God is. I'm beginning to appreciate just the depth of how detailed and meticulous God is in working in our personal lives. I think he's the same way in working in the church life as well, our whole body of believers, because I think the details prove the motives and the power and the goal of the Holy Spirit and God. I think what he's doing in your life, you don't always understand it, but you always at the end, when you get through it and overcome it and all that kind of stuff, and you become victorious in it, you look back over it, and what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Look what God did. I see the hand of God in all of these circumstances. And that leads me to believe that what the Holy Spirit is doing in us corporately is also influenced by us on an individual basis. And we can get a little confused sometimes about that, and I don't want you to be confused. That's where I want to confirm some things in your life, and hopefully I can do that, because when the Holy Spirit speaks, he may use tongues and interpretation. He may use prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Mostly that is used in a corporate situation, but I'll be honest with you. I've been going through some real trials sometimes, and I'll be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, I hope this doesn't embarrass our church people here, our visitors, or Carol Smith. I don't want her to be embarrassed either, but every once in a while, I'll be speaking in tongues while I'm driving down the road. Wouldn't you like to be a fly in the car then, wouldn't you? And I've even actually interpreted that speaking in tongues and knew by the power that I felt in my heart that was God confirming something for me. But it was very personal. I would not repeat to you what it was the Lord was saying to me. Mostly it was corrective. Mostly it was get your mind right, get your heart right, get yourself in. Don't be sidetracked by this issue and that issue and this issue. You've got to stay focused on and directed on your vision. Where I've given you a purpose and a goal. Go! Get the goal done. I don't know about you, but sometimes God will tell you where to go and it'll take you an hour to get there when God wants you to get there in 10 minutes. Because I get sidetracked. And maybe that's a 60s thing. I don't know. But what I do know is that I have short-term memory loss. And so if God speaks to me, sometimes I've got to get re-spoken to. But whatever the Holy Spirit's doing, I've actually had that happen on a personal level. I was going to jail one time. And I was pleading the blood of Jesus. I just become a Christian. And I heard that term, plead the blood. Y'all heard, that's a churchy term, you know, not everybody probably knows it, you know, but that's an old-time churchy term, plead the blood. That's when you beg God to pour the blood on you again, amen? Save me again, I'm in trouble. Rescue me from, deliver me from mine enemy, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I was going, it was for a parking ticket, not a bank robbery like Jim, but. Anyway, so I'm pleading the blood. I didn't even know what it was, but I was pleading it. God help me, you know. Well, he did. He rescued me out of that. And he spoke to me, through me, to me. So it does happen, these things that God wants to do in a corporate setting. He does also do it sometimes in a personal. So, there's some exemptions there. But the Holy Spirit likes to work in a cooperative way. And so he teaches you on a personal level. And then when he brings you into the corporate level, he incorporates you, good word, incorporates you into the flow of the Spirit on any given Sunday. You see, Chuck may not be the only one that speaks a word from the Lord. Maybe someone else. And what's interesting about that, whatever that word is, it's the same word given to the whole church. Everybody hears the same word, amen? I'll guarantee you it doesn't mean the same thing to every one of you. It means something different to every one of you. He said, thus saith the Lord, I have heard your prayer and I will respond and I will fulfill my promise to you. I'm a covenant-keeping God, okay? Every one of you heard that, but every one of you assimilated that differently. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in a corporate setting. He takes the word that he delivers through one person and he speaks it into your personal life. Do you see the interaction between you as an individual and the church? Are you catching a clue why church is important? Hey, it's one thing going to jail pleading the blood. It's another thing coming here and having the brethren pray for you before you go to jail. Amen? People standing in the gap holding you up and begging God to just keep him for a few days. It might teach him something, but, you know, that kind of stuff. But the power of the Holy Spirit is working on every level to accomplish a goal. He has a goal in mind for every individual. Not only that they learn what their gifts are and how the Holy Spirit uses them best and most. Because I personally believe, and I've said this and will continue to say this, that anybody filled with the Holy Spirit can be used by the Holy Spirit in any one of these gifts. Any one of these gifts. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is the administrator, he's the chooser of who he's going to use, and he can use any one of those gifts in you. However, he may use a gift more predominantly in you because you're yielded to him in a particular way. And you're comfortable because he's used that. So, I want to use Jim, but he won't listen to me, so I got to go ahead and use Chuck again. I love my illustrations. So he may use a particular gift in someone, and he may use it predominantly. And so some person may be known as a prophet because God uses them in prophecy most of the time. But that does not mean that they cannot be used in any other gift because the same Holy Spirit is the one who does it. And so the important thing is that the Holy Spirit is doing it. And that's one caution I want to give you before I get any further into this idea of God communicating through you, because the goal is to communicate to the believer what the will of God is for the believer, for the church or for the believer, amen? Isn't it awesome that the Holy Spirit speaks in contemporary times and addresses contemporary issues? Now, you can read the Bible and it'll talk about everything under the sun. Everything. And if you're going through a particular problem, I guarantee you can find something in the scripture that David went through that's going to come pretty close to where you're at. Or anybody else. You'll find something in scripture. But isn't it also awesome that the Holy Spirit, confirming the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit speaks, he will always confirm the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit says, thus saith the Lord, or you think it's the Holy Spirit saying, thus saith the Lord, I think it's okay, Jim, rob the Bank of America this week. You know good and well that's not God. Because he's asking or speaking to a person to do something that is in opposition to his word. And if not his word, God's nature. God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous. He's never going to ask you to do anything that violates that. Amen? So communication is awesome for God, and it's awesome for you and I, because I believe God speaks. But for God to speak, we need to understand a couple things. Not every thought we hear in our mind is God's Holy Spirit speaking to us. And therefore, we do not build a church doctrine or a church on what went through my mind. That's why we rely upon the written, inspired, infallible Word of God to depend upon for our conduct, our life, our lifestyle, and our hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. But we do receive the contemporary Word of the Lord as an inspiration, an encouragement, a soul builder, spirit builder, life revealer, comforter, all those things. But we don't build doctrines and churches and temples to an experience any individual has had in any given service. Making sense? In other words, Chuck shared with us today, I recognize his voice, Chuck shared the word with us today. We don't build a temple unto Chuck for the word that he said, and we don't make the words that he said equal and equivalent to the word of God. That word should confirm this word, and this word should confirm that word. Therefore, it is of God. If it does not, it is not of God. Am I helping anybody this morning? And so God loves to communicate to you. That's what prayer is about. Not just the things that the Holy Spirit does in our church, but prayer is communication with God. I became a Christian when a pastor told me, I was blubbering like a baby at the altar, not knowing what to say, not knowing what all's happening. This is weird. I don't understand this. And the pastor came and said simply, talk to Jesus like you're talking to your best friend. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what you want. Well, a person down here praying, not knowing that they're a sinner and going to hell if they don't accept Jesus Christ. By the way, that's true. Not knowing that, how do I know to ask from God what I need? That was a very nice instruction by the pastor, but it fell just a little bit short in that I don't know what I need. I've never asked before. And so who steps in to help you at that time? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God, who has already got you out of your seat and down to the altar. How? By what you felt inside and you were emotionally and spiritually experiencing. Draws you to the altar. Draws you into his presence. Draws you to the place where you can make that personal commitment. But he does the same thing every day in our lives. Maybe not bring us to the altar for salvation, but every day he brings us to the place where God's will is revealed to us. Now, I don't know that every Christian needs to be told every day, okay, get up, cook your eggs and bacon and have wheat toast today. But tomorrow you can have English muffins. But today you must have, I'm going to tell you, that sounds stupid, doesn't it? Come on. I have actually talked to people who have told me that exact thing. Yeah, the Spirit tells me what to eat breakfast. Yeah, the Spirit tells me if I should go to work today or not. Folks, let me tell you something. God tells you eat, but he don't tell you what to eat. You can fix it for you. You make it up for yourself. But I'll tell you something else. He never tells you to stay home from work. Never. Never does he do that.
That's a spirit of stupid.
Yeah. That's that. I thought you already knew you were stupid kind of thing, you know? So when the Holy Spirit communicates, it's always going to be in balance. It's always going to be in harmony with the Word. And it's always going to be right in your spirit. See, I want you to understand your part in this. It's not just you're sitting there looking at the watch. And all of a sudden the power of God just bombs down on you. It's not all, I mean, on the day of Pentecost it was kind of that. But they've been there a while, folks. Who knows how long they've been there praying in one mind? You got 120 people up there. Let me ask you just how quick you got 120 people's minds in one direction. We can't get 120 of you to agree on what we're going to eat for the potluck. Am I right? But to get your mind together to receive the promise from on high, come on. That takes the Holy Spirit to do that. to get you to communicate to you. So one of the greatest things, if you really want to be a strong Christian, is to learn to communicate well with the Lord. He knows how to communicate to you, but you're not always listening, amen? And that's the reason the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, one of the reasons, and so that He could communicate to the believer directly, right to your spirit, so that you'll know what His will is for your personal inspiration, you'll know what His will is for your particular situation, you'll know what His specific will is for your specific circumstances and specific trial and specific temptation. Hello, that's what you're going through. Are you not thankful to God and the Holy Spirit that not only gets you through all of that stuff, but gives you time in between the next round to grow and become stronger and more intuitive, more sensitive to the Spirit, more obedient to Him, more dependent upon Him, more desirous of a closer, more intimate relationship with Him, opening up yourself inside. See, you can still close yourself off to the Holy Spirit who's in you. Am I helping you this morning? In the personal context, the Holy Spirit works to inspire us. He works to reveal to us. He works to direct our lives. You know, Clayton Barr, famous prophet that attends our church on occasion, gave me some advice about pastoring, or a description about pastoring, more than advice, more of a description. He said, you know, pastoring, and I think he was quoting a previous pastor that he'd had. He said, you know, pastoring is a lot like herding cats. You've heard that before, have you? I've even said that here before. Herding cats. Why? Because everybody's got a will. Everybody thinks this should be going on. Everybody thinks this is the way we should do this. And everybody, what cracks me up is every wild cat has an idea, but every wild cat wants the pastor to do it. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit is in you. Hello? He's in you to turn you from a cat into something more productive. All you cat lovers just threw darts at me, I know, but I've only liked a couple of cats in my life, and other cats I'm just sort of tolerant of. But He wants to direct us. And to get a cat in order and going in a straight, a cat doesn't even pay attention to you. You yell at the cat, sit, and he'll just run and claw your furniture. No, not claw, sit. Crazy, isn't it? So if that's accurate, then the Holy Spirit's trying to get you in the right direction when you're wanting to go every which way, amen? And so, direct us. Lord, direct. How many times have I prayed that? Lord, direct us this morning. Have your way. Let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in our lives. Let Him move and minister in a powerful way. But also He works to correct us and to inspect us. These are not precious terms. Precious memories, how they linger. Anyway, these are not precious thoughts, but they are powerful thoughts. Because if you are yield to the Spirit to receive inspiration, revelation, and direction, that means He has already worked on you by correction, inspection, and perfection. He can't inspire you if He has to keep correcting you. Making sense? You're too busy going through that process. And He can't reveal anything to you if He has to constantly inspect if you're right and everything's going well inside. Making sense? And He can't direct you if He hasn't brought you to a place of perfect relationship with Him. I didn't say being a perfect person. I said perfect relationship with Him. You know that's possible, amen? It's possible for you to walk and move and live and have your being in the Holy Spirit. That may not get you to want to jump up and run around the church and wave a flag or two. That may not do that. But I guarantee you, the next time you face temptation, the next time you face a situation in your life that you can't deal with and that you can't overcome and that you've got no control over, it might be good you know the Holy Ghost. Might be good you want to yield to Him. You want to listen to Him. You want to let Him inspire you, reveal to you, and correct and inspect you. and bring you to that place of perfect relationship. Because in that process, it's how he gets the dross out of your life. That which he does not want in your life, it's how he gets it out of your life. And let me give you a word of encouragement, because God will forever be doing that until he comes. Amen. Until Jesus takes us to heaven, he will always be getting out of your life what he does not want in your life. Until you come to that place where he can look in the gold, the purity of your life, and see his own reflection. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. Are you perfect? No. No, I'm not perfect as a person, but I can have a perfect relationship with the Holy Spirit because I'm open and I'm willing for the Holy Ghost to speak to my heart. If I'm wrong, if I've done something wrong, God, make me aware of that, because much of what God through the Holy Spirit reveals to us is not the Word of God. You got the book. How many of you got a book? You got one, right? If you don't have one, you can have one in the pew. He does that to correct you, revitalize you, renew you, make you over and over and over again until you're just right and just what he wants you to be. Am I making any sense? And so, as he's working in the corporate setting, in the church, he's working this way in the personal life, he's also doing the same thing in the church. You know, I know you don't really realize this all the time, because not everybody goes to five different churches a week. Most of you go pretty much settle on a church, and you go there and you stay steady and all that kind of stuff, which is what you should be doing, because when God speaks, you want to be there to hear him, amen? And it might have been just for you. And if you weren't there and God spoke and it was for you and you missed it, that word you needed to hear, you might not hear the way the Holy Spirit wanted to plant it into your life. But on a corporate, he works all of us for the same goal, the same purpose, to bring a church full of people that he'll move upon everyone to accomplish good for each one. Not a communist, but he's working on all of us so that each individual will be lifted up and encouraged. He works on the church to bring good and to edify, and yet to, in that process, bring inspiration to the individual. That's why when you leave church, you've been inspired as God has spoken to you, not because the whole church has been inspired in a particular way, although that's the probable means. God wants to reveal his purposes or his vision. How does he do that? He does it to the church. The church knows where we're going. Do you know where we're going? Well, we're following Jesus. What is Jesus' goal for our lives? Well, it's a goal for everybody to be more like him and to be a light to the world. It's that simple, folks. That's the agenda. The agenda of Jesus Christ is to build strength in his people so that they can live in a world that's in opposition to them and, in fact, adamantly opposed to them, and still remain a light to them. Simple agenda, isn't it? Isn't that simple? That's all we're doing. So that's our goal. But now how are we going to get there? That's where the Holy Spirit begins to move on individuals and leaders and pastors and teachers and all the others to pull together to know that we're building a ministry center here where we can influence not only each other and encourage each other in fellowship, but that we'll reach outside these walls and influence and affect this world that is in opposition to us. That's our whole agenda. But how we do it is our private agenda. That's what God is building in you and I. Amen? I mean, you thought we just threw these buildings up for fun. No. We invested and built these buildings and have a place to, as a center focused place from which we launch out to touch other lives and minister other lives. But right here, we get encourage one another and strengthen one another. Am I making sense? And so the Holy Spirit, that's his work. He's going to inspire us. He's going to bring vision to us. He's going to bring direction. He's going to speak with us daily, giving us instruction on a personal level and also in the church. So the work of the Holy Spirit then is to give the direction of the Father and the Son to the people, to communicate what the Father and the Son want to say to us. Have you ever prayed and never felt like you could hear God answering? Never felt like it? Does everybody know here what the voice of the Lord sounds like? When he speaks to you, God never speaks to you without impacting you. Amen? Give you an example. When you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden, bang, this concept leaps into your mind and into your spirit, and you say, man, that word was just for me today. You felt it as much as you read it. When you're in prayer, God, I need you to bless my kids. They're just as honored as they can be, and they started tearing the carpet off the floor at the church, and I don't know what to do. Now I'm going to have to pay that and help the church. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord says, bang, I hear your prayer. I'm going to answer your prayer. And suddenly, your kids are perfect angels. You know that's a complete lie, don't you? That just never happens, does it? But you know what I'm saying. You're praying for whatever need you may have in God, and all of a sudden you feel, you know, you've been impacted, that God has given you the assurance of the answer. Does anybody relate to that? That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He impacts us with what the Father and the Son are saying as we talk to the Father in prayer. But you can be standing there worshiping, and the same experience happened to you. When the Holy Spirit arrests your heart and you know He's speaking straight to you, and sometimes you understand it, sometimes you don't, but you know there's change happening here. That's awesome. That's communicating with the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me? Let me kind of bring this to an end because we want to have time for communion. In either way, whether on an individual basis or on a church basis, God wants to direct the interaction with Him. He wants to interact with us. He wants to be able to speak to us. He wants to confirm His word. He wants to confirm His will. He wants to build His vision in the church. He wants to secure your place in the church and the vision. Every one of God's people should have a place in the church and should have a vision and a mission in the church. Not everybody's a teacher, but everybody can paint. Amen? Just a simple example. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a singer. If you stood over there where I'm singing, you know that. But whatever skills and talents God has placed in you, He can use. The whole point being is that whatever God is doing, He's developing you for a place in the kingdom and in the work of God. And so He wants to secure that place for you. He also wants to develop the people and the goal so that the example of being a Christian will not only come to fruition, but the love that Christ demands in the church will be in action. Let me ask you something. Who has hurt you the most? Your employer when he shouts at you? Or a Christian when he talks about you behind your back? What wounds you the most? When you've got confidence in a Christian person and some way, some manner, they disappoint you? They've been just such good Christian leaders and suddenly they fall. Has that wounded you? Have you been in a disagreement with a brother or sister in Christ and only to feel the sense that, man, this is bad for both of us and all of us? Who has really wounded you the most? You know, I could probably ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and raise your hands. And I would guess that probably the majority of us here this morning would say, I've been hurt probably the most in churches than any other kind of relationship I've had. I mean, shy of a divorce or something like that. What we want our church to be is led by the Holy Spirit so that when people are wounded, even if the pastor says something stupid and proves that his wife was right, you would be willing to be forgiving. Or the person sitting next to you in the seat here at church, they offended you. There's two problems in communication. Well, a couple that I want to mention. Obviously, misunderstanding is one of them. A lot of problems with misunderstanding. Second one would be imagination. What we imagine that person meant when they said what they said. And the third biggest problem is when you make that into an offense. And the fourth one that would be a problem would be is if you take up an offense for someone else. What are you talking about, Pastor? Okay, say Jim and I are in an argument. We don't agree about what color we should paint the outside of the church. And what's your name there? What was that? Cindy. Cindy Odom. Yeah, that's wrong. That's all right. I'm messing with your mind. I'm trying to get you to take up an offense, Cindy. So Cindy, I got too close on that one. I'm sorry. Cindy listens to Jim, and Jim says, no, it should be this color. And she says, yeah, you're right. Listen. And together they take up an offense against what I might think. It goes worse than that. It can be issues. It can be life issues. It can be problems in a family. And when someone takes up, who's not involved, she's not involved in the decision process, but she takes up an offense toward me because she thinks the paint should be that color. Any issue in life, relationship problems in life, when somebody not involved takes up an offense for a situation that is whatever, that person is wrong and breaks off communication. Cindy won't talk to me anymore because she thinks I forgot her name. She's taking up offense. She's agreeing with him now. She wouldn't change colors or agree with me for nothing because I offended her and she took up an offense. Am I making any kind of sense? Maybe these are squirrely examples. But those are four issues that destroy harmony, unity, and communication. I'm closing with this, and we want to receive the elements together this morning. We want to have a church where people understand that the love of God is the most important thing. John, our most important part of our relationship is not so much that I love you, I do, but is that I love Jesus Christ and that you love Jesus Christ. Because he's able to communicate into your heart what I can't say. If we have some kind of disagreement. Amen? So the most important thing is the love of Jesus Christ. And so listen to me. The work that the Holy Spirit is doing is to get the love of God in any situation. If Jim's mad at me or Cindy's mad at me, get God in the middle of this. If her love for the Lord, my love for the Lord, that should bring us together. We want to have a church. Offenses are going to arise. There's no way you can help. You can live perfectly and somebody's going to find fault with that. So offenses are going to arise. Just don't take up an offense for somebody else. It's not your issue. Leave it alone. Let God and the love of God deal with those people. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. What's he going to say? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's what he's going to be telling you. We're about to receive the elements. One of the most important things that Paul emphasizes is that the brethren love one another. And so I don't know if you love me. I love you. But you might have an offense taken up. Maybe I've said something to Jim about robbing banks and you're mad about it. I don't know. But I'm going to give us an opportunity to let the Spirit of God communicate to us. Communicate. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to tell you the parties or anything like that. But there have been people in our church that have been deeply wounded by other Christian people. Deeply wounded. Deeply wounded. And I don't know why it is. For some reason, God has chosen this church, and it certainly isn't my good looks. I'm going to tell you that. We all know that one's not true, but for some reason, God has sent people in our church to be there for a season or whatever, to just get healed up, back on track, get that wound healed. I like that. I don't know why God does that, and I certainly haven't asked him to do that, although I'm welcoming that. I love that God does that, but that's purely God. That's nothing to me or anybody else in this church, except for the Holy Spirit, for some reason, has got a group of people here that are willing to love people no matter what. Amen? Oh, we'll get their deal. We'll be like brothers and sisters that, you know, steal each other's candy. We'll get mad about it before long. But don't let nobody else come in here and try to keep us from fighting. Amen? We're family. So everybody's smiling. Everybody knows I fought with a brother and sister. But we love the way God's Holy Spirit moves in that way. But I think there's the thing that he wants us to work on is that communication. If we don't understand, find out the answers. If we're taking up an offense for someone else, we might want to check ourselves and say, hey, I'm getting out of that. Let God deal with that. Just love them both the best you can and let it go. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, this is what he's saying. Jesus loves you. You must love one another. What does that mean? Well, if you're a husband and a wife and you disagree, somewhere along the line, you got to work that out. Somehow you got to work those disagreements out. And it takes time and all that kind of process.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.